study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our Bible study today comes from the book of Exodus. Our teacher is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University until the time he went to be with his Lord. And now by tape recording, here is today's study by Mr. Boyd.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 32. Exodus, chapter 32, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. This chapter is the first of a parenthetical passage in the book of Exodus. Up until this point, we have been considering the gracious provision for Israel in the tabernacle that was provided for them, together with the priesthood and the various sacrifices, and then certain commands, and the particular command that we considered in our last study regarding the Sabbath sign between the Lord and the nation Israel. Of course, all of this is in a passage in the book of Exodus which has to do with revelation. It's a theological period in Israel's history. Israel gathered at Mount Sinai, and in these chapters, 9.5 months of Israel's history are recorded. In chapter 19, the revelation of the Lord, chapters 20 to 24, the annunciation of the law, and chapters 25 to 40, the designation of the way of approach unto God. And these last 16 chapters, we have the tabernacle, which dominates this passage of Scripture because we have such a great theme of how man can approach a holy God. And all of this indicates the importance of this matter. Chapters 25 to 31, the gracious provision for Israel. Chapters 32 to 34, the grievous perversion of Israel. And chapters 35 to 40, the glorious performance in Israel. Now, let me remind you again that chapter 30 is the great worship chapter of the book of Exodus, telling where and who and how to worship. In chapter 31, then, there's declared for us the builders of the tabernacle and then the sign of the Sabbath. Now, after the sign of the Sabbath was given and the strict commands with regard to its observance, we have recorded for us in three chapters a defection on the part of Israel, a perversion on the part of Israel, as Israel broke the law that she said she would keep. And so, in these chapters, we have a parenthesis telling of the broken law and its consequences. Now, in verses 1 to 6 here, we have the historical account of how Israel defected from God's law. First of all, in chapter 32 and verse 1, we read of the people's demand. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Moses had ascended the mount. He had been there for quite some time, 40 days he was there. During that period, the people of Israel saw that he delayed to come down, and they got restless, and so they gathered themselves together unto Aaron, the priest, and they made a demand. And this demand was a violation of the first commandment. Back in Exodus chapter 20 and verses 1 to 2, the Lord says unto the nation Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And here Israel, in a congregation comes to Aaron, the priest, who was left there to direct them in the absence of Moses, and they demanded that he make them gods, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. Now, this is strange, isn't it? It's really ridiculous that they should demand human-made gods, which they said performed the miracle of the deliverance of this nation from bondage and from the land of Egypt and from the pursuing of Pharaoh and his armies. But they made this demand in violation of the very first command in the Mosaic covenant. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, or thou shalt have no other gods beside me. Then in verses 2 to 4, we read of the priest's direction. Notice what he says. Verse 2, And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. All right, the priest's directions. He said, Okay, if you want me to make you gods, then I'll have to have materials from which to make them. So break off the golden earrings in your wives and your sons and your daughters. Now you recall that when the children of Israel left Egypt, they plundered or spoiled the Egyptians. The Egyptians were so glad to get rid of them, they just loaded them down with various kinds of wealth, including much gold. Of course, they had earrings. And out of these earrings, these gods were constructed by Aaron. All right, the people then obeyed what Aaron told them to do. And when he took them, then it says he fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a golden calf. In other words, Aaron melted the gold and then formed it into a calf and then put the finishing touches on it with a graven tool. This is an interesting thing, particularly in view of the fact that when Moses came down from the mount later and challenged Aaron with regards to what he had done in leading the children of Israel into idolatry, Aaron replied in verse 24, and he said, I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Now, Aaron just plain lied. No, Aaron didn't just say, if any of you have any gold, bring it to me. He just gave order that they take the gold from the earrings of their sons and daughters and wives and bring it. And then he said to Moses that he just put it in the fire and it sort of miraculously came out in the form of a calf. But this is absolutely contrary to the record that we have regarding what Aaron did. Aaron actually fashioned it. And he fashioned it in the likeness of the sacred bull of Egypt. Now, this is a remarkable thing because here we have a violation, not only of the first commandment, but of the second commandment. He fashioned it in the likeness of the golden calf of Egypt, and they said, These be thy gods. So there were two of them. These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Well, the Lord had already spoken to Israel in chapter 20 and said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Not only shalt thou have no other gods before me, but thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, and thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And so, how ridiculous it is for them to think that the very God of Egypt, which Moses, by the power of Jehovah, had defied, and which Jehovah had defeated, could be the God that delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. But that's what they said, and they violated Commandment 1 and Commandment 2 because they made an image, the likeness of an animal, before which they could bow down to worship. So the people's demand was an image of a god. The priest's directions were, bring me the golden earrings, and then they did, and he fashioned the golden calves. And then in verses 5 and 6, we read of the perverse devotion. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. All right, here again we have a violation of the second commandment. They were commanded not to make any graven image before which to bow down. And here they not only made the graven image, but now they proclaimed a feast, and they said this feast was to be unto the Lord. They were going to worship the Lord now as they bowed down before an image of the sacred bull of Egypt. What a perversion! God had told them not to do it. You know, there are many people who claim to worship God through images, through icons, through pictures, through various things. No, we don't worship God through anything that man can make by a graving tool or by a carving tool or by photography or by portraying in any fashion. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And men do not need material aids to spiritual worship. And so this devotion was perverted, and it was perverse in them. Further, they rose up on the morrow, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Now, the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, for which there are directions in Leviticus chapters 1 and 2, these were to be offered unto Jehovah and unto Him alone. And then, as they offered these burnt offerings and peace offerings, they sat down to eat and drink. And they probably reveled in their drink, but they also rose up to play. And this last phrase indicates they rose up to play the harlot. They not only were spiritual adulterers in that they were perverse in their devotion, they turned away from Jehovah to false gods, but they probably actually engaged in immorality among themselves. With idolatry always comes immorality. And so, no wonder we find in the next paragraph, which we shall consider at a later date, that the jealousy of the Lord was aroused, and He desired Moses to leave him alone that he may destroy this people. Oh, my dear friends, listen. God's commands regarding our approach to Him are specific. We're to worship Him in spirit and truth, and we can only approach Him through the blood-sprinkled way, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God help us as we seek to worship Him, to be sure we do so according to the directions He gives and not the directions that others may give.
Today's study was given by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.